From downtown Buffalo, it's Decision 2015, the race for Erie County Executive, a debate between candidates Mark Poloncarz and Ray Walter. This event is brought to you by WNED WBFO, WGRZ, and the Buffalo News. And now, here's the debate moderator, WBFO News Director, Brian Meyer.
Thank you and welcome to all of you watching and listening across Western New York. Over the next hour, we'll learn more about the candidates for Erie County Executive who are seeking your vote on Election Day. Let's meet the candidates. Democrat Mark Poloncarz is finishing his first term as Erie County Executive. He previously served as Erie County Comptroller and practiced law before running for office. He's also running on the Working Families and Women's Equality lines. Republican Ray Walter represents the 146th District in the State Assembly. He began his political career in 2009 when he became an Erie County lawmaker. He is an attorney who is also running on the conservative, independent, and reform lines. Gentlemen, welcome. The candidates will be taking questions from our panelists, who we'll meet in just a moment. They will also answer questions submitted by voters. Now, you can join the conversation as well. Steve Brown of WGRZ-TV is leading a team of journalists in our rapid response room. They'll be tracking what you have to say on social media and analyzing candidates' responses. Steve.
Hey, Brian, we're in the rapid response room. We're eight journalists strong. We have representatives from the Buffalo News, from WBFO, and, of course, from Channel 2. And our jobs are twofold, and we're asking the folks that are watching and listening to help out. The hashtag ECDebate should be right up here. Is it right up here? It's not up here quite yet. ECDebate, that is how you can communicate your thoughts, your questions, your issues that you want answered before this hour is up. Hashtag ECDebate. We have a twofold job. One, fact-checking in real time. In the heat of a debate, sometimes facts can get misled. Sometimes they can get numbers transposed. We want to make sure we correct the record as quickly as possible. And then we want to hear through social media, through hashtag ECDebate, how you are thinking about, what you're thinking about, what's your priorities, what questions, what answers did you like, not like. Give us your thoughts so that we can plug those into the debate and make it your debate at home as well. Brian?
Thanks, Stephen. We'll be checking back with you shortly. Our rapid response room will determine a major issue or question that will be explored in an informal discussion of sorts with both candidates. There will be two such discussions, each lasting a few minutes. Now, here are the rules for tonight's debate. Each candidate will have 1 minute to make an opening statement. Questions from our panelists will alternate, and each candidate will have 1 minute to answer. Follow-up questions will be limited given time constraints. If a panelist has a follow-up, each candidate will have 30 seconds to respond. Community questions will be directed to both candidates, who will each have 1 minute to respond. Also, each candidate will ask one question to the other at a predetermined time. A one-minute response will be allowed. The candidates will not interrupt one another. Time limits will be enforced. We ask the candidates to please stay on topic. A bell will ring when the time is expired. The League of Women Voters of Buffalo Niagara will be keeping time. Now, at the end of the question and answer period, each candidate will have 1 minute to make a closing statement. The order of speakers was determined by a random draw. Mr. Poloncarz, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you to all who have taken time out of your busy schedules to watch this important discussion. 4 years ago, I made you some promises. I promised, if elected, we would work together to grow our economy, and that's exactly what we've done, reducing the unemployment rate from 8.9 to 5.1% and creating more than 12,000 jobs in the process. I promised you I'd get a bills lease done, and I did, and the bills are here to stay under the ownership of the Pegulas. I promise you we'd invest in our parks, libraries, roads, and we did that without raising taxes while at the same time ending up with small surpluses. I said county government would be there in your time of need, and we were there during the storms of 2014. Now, while I can't guarantee we're never going to get hit by another blizzard, if we do, county government will once again be leading the way. And folks, let me make one more promise to you. If you give me the privilege to continue to serve as your county executive, I know working together, our best days are still ahead of us. Thank you.
Mr. Walter, you have 1 minute for your opening.
Good evening, and thank you so much for hosting this debate, and hello to everybody at home. I first just want to acknowledge my wife, Jennifer, who's with me tonight in the audience, and also say hello to my two boys, Ray and Jack, who are watching at home. Hi, boys. I'm Ray Walter, and I'm running for county executive to be the strong leader that Erie County taxpayers deserve. I've run a campaign about ideas. about my vision for the 21st century Erie County. I proposed a fair share tax plan that will cut your property taxes by modernizing our 40-year-old sales tax sharing agreement. It's about putting money back into your pocket, about making sure you and your family can afford to live here in Erie County, and helping seniors be able to afford to stay in their homes. Our region's on the rise. The state has invested over $1 billion into our future. Yet the current county executive has done nothing to leverage that investment and bring broad prosperity throughout all of Erie County. He hasn't. I will. I'm Ray Walter, and I'd be honored to be your next county executive.
Tonight's first question comes from Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News, and it's for Mr. Poloncarz.
Good evening, Mr. Poloncarz. Welcome to you. You've given high marks to your administration for its response to last November's megastorm and the 7 feet of snow it dumped in some areas of the South Towns. But as you know, several town highway superintendents were critical of the county's performance, and you have expressed serious reservations about how they embrace the county's system for coordinating snow removal. So with winter approaching, can you assure your constituents that the county and the towns are now fully prepared to confront another snow emergency?
Yes, I can, as it pertains to the county. We are storm ready, and we were declared storm ready by the National Weather Service prior to the storms that we had in 2014. I'm never going to apologize for our response to a snowstorm in which we had this much snow fall in a 2.5-day period. Our number one responsibility was to keep the hospitals open, Mercy Hospital, the various main roads, as well as the dialysis centers. And we provided information to the public, and we always had information available to the towns as well as to the villages and cities that we were working with. It was hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime snow. But I can tell the people today that already the Department of Public Works and our Emergency Services Department is getting ready for the snows that we know will hit in 2015. As I said, I can't guarantee we're never going to get hit by a blizzard, but I can guarantee you that Erie County will lead the way if we do. Why? Because we have the personnel at the ready. And after having gone through the last storms that we had, the two blizzards in 14, January and March, as well as the November storm, we know how to handle snow.
Mr. Walter, you have 1 minute.
Well, Mark, you ran for county executive in a county that gets a lot of snow. Keeping the roads clear is practically in the job description. So running around patting yourself on the back for keeping the roads clear is a little much. But just for as many people who can say that you did a great job, we've talked to people throughout the county in places like Hamburg and Orchard Park, Boston and Lancaster, that say they were practically ignored during that storm, that they didn't see a county plow truck for days. That the county roads were blocking the ability for the towns to be able to get out their own plow trucks. And what was your response? Well, you went on TV and said, well, they're not using the D-LAN system. That's the response of a bureaucrat, not a leader. What Erie County needs is a leader.
Bob, you have a follow-up?
Yeah, for Mr. Poloncarz, what about that D-LAN system? Do you feel that the county and the town highway superintendents are now in sync on this? Do you think that everybody is going to be playing from the same playbook if that happens again?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's like any system that you can put in place. If people don't use it, they're not going to get the advantage of it. It's like the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can tell you what happened. I was up all night that first night of snow. By 7 o'clock in the morning, I declared a state of emergency and called Governor Cuomo saying, we need the National Guard. I had already signed an emergency order with our Department of Public Works authorizing Erie County to actually go out there and hire private contractors to do the work because we knew our snow plows could not push 4 feet of snow. They're meant for 2 feet of snow. And we hired payloaders and bucket trucks to do that. It was hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime snow, and we got through it.
Mr. Walter?
Well, the reality is if there's a system that's not working, the best thing to do is pick up the cell phone and call the supervisors, call the superintendents, reach out to people. That's what, you know, I've learned over my years in government service is the best thing to do is have a relationship with the people that you need to get a hold of. I could pick up the phone right now and call some of the supervisors and highway superintendents, and they would be responsive to me. We don't need to have a system in an emergency. Obviously, you want to be able to follow the protocols and do the things that you have to do, but at the end of the day, if something's not happening, pick up the phone and call. That's what leadership is.
Our next question comes from reporter Claudine Ewing of WGRZ Television, and it's for Mr. Walter.
Good evening, Mr. Walter. You made light of a probe involving the county's Department of Public Works by the state attorney general's office regarding bid rigging. The AG's office says there's nothing there. Do you have insight on something? And do you really believe there is a cover-up? And if so, why?
Well, we were responding to a published report by City and State magazine that said they had multiple sources who said that there's an ongoing investigation at the Department of Public Works. I don't think the Attorney General's statement has addressed whether or not there's an ongoing investigation or not. All that they said was that there was a completed investigation regarding Eden's Evans Center Road. I hope that there's more to come out about this, because I think there is. I don't think that Mark's done anything wrong here, but I think that what this shows is that there needs to be accountability in county government, and we haven't seen that. So, you know, even if there wasn't a problem at DPW that rose to the level of criminality, clearly there was something wrong, because Mark referred it to the Attorney General's office. Yet he says no one was held accountable for those actions. That is a real problem, that somebody is not following through on holding people accountable when something is definitely going on.
Mr. Poloncarz, your response.
You talk about leadership, but leadership is not jumping to conclusions, as my opponent did yesterday. What actually happened in 2011, when I was running against Mr. Collins, we heard rumors in the Comptroller's Office of improprieties in the Department of Public Works. When I came in in 2012 as county executive, we looked at it, and we identified what appeared to be significant improprieties, but not those that we could enforce ourselves. So we turned it over to the Attorney General's office in January of 2013 because it involved state funds. I didn't think it was appropriate for me, after defeating Mr. Collins, to go out there, because people would have said, oh, this is political. I wanted to get to the base of this. The Attorney General said the investigation is closed, and I take them at their word.
We now have a video question submitted by an Erie County resident.
Hi, my name is Christopher Gust from Alden. The question I have for the candidates is with regards to the future of the former Erie County home located on Walden Avenue in the town of Alden. Since ECMC closed the Alden facility 2 years ago when they moved to their new building in the city of Buffalo, the Alden location has remained vacant. The question I have is, what are your plans for the future use of that site? Many residents of Alden fear that the buildings on the grounds will continue to deteriorate and be left abandoned. And many would like to see that land, which totals over 100 acres, put to future economic use and put on the tax rolls instead of being continued to be owned by the county. Thank you.
You will each have 1 minute to respond, and we will start with Mr. Poloncarz.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you, Christopher, for that question. I can tell you what we're doing right now. Erie County government does not own the home. It's currently owned by the Erie County Medical Center Corporation, and we're in negotiations to take back ownership of the home. Unfortunately, there's some environmental issues there with regards to underground and above ground storage tanks. But I can tell you this, we are going to take back the home, and here's what we're going to do. Initially, we're going to mothball it so it's safe and people can't break in and steal pipes and things like that. Then we have a plan in which we will eventually have to tear down the home. But there's asbestos as well as lead that needs to be abated at the home. So before we can go in there and demolish it, we have to clean up the asbestos and the lead. Then once we've cleaned up the asbestos and lead, we will actually demolish the facility. And my goal is to get it on the tax rolls by selling it to a private sector concern. Unfortunately, we still don't own it, but as soon as we own it, we'll be able to move forward with our plan.
Mr. Walter, your response.
Well, it's good to know that there actually is a plan that exists, because I know that Legislator Morton has reached out to your office repeatedly asking what's going on with this facility. And that's a problem overall with your administration so far. There's no vision, there's no plan, there's no action. We've known for years that this facility is going to be shut down, and we should have been planning for the future. But there is no plan. I understand it's a difficult situation. You also have the issue of being able to, all of the heating and cooling systems that run the jail right across the street are at the Alden home, and I appreciate the problems associated with that. But for 4 years now, you've been in office, and you've known that this situation was coming up. And right now is the first time we've heard of any sort of a plan for the Alden home. The folks in Alden don't even know what's going on, obviously. So thank goodness you at least had something to say about this tonight, because so far, in the last 4 years, you've had no vision as regards to Alden home. And I think we do need to get it back on the tax rolls as quickly as possible.
This is Decision 2015, the race for Erie County Executive, coming to you live from the WNED WBFO studios. A reminder that you can join the conversation using the hashtag #ECDebate. Now let's begin a new round of questioning. Bob McCarthy of the Buffalo News has a question for Mr. Walter.
Welcome to you also, Mr. Walter. And let's return to this DPW issue for a moment. There seems to be some confusion about the status of the Attorney General's investigation, at least from what you said in your remarks. You said you were not sure that it has been closed. To the contrary, in today's editions of the Buffalo News, the spokesman for the Attorney General said, after a thorough review and with the full support and cooperation of County Executive Poloncarz, our office closed the case with no further action. So that's contrary to what your claims were in your press conference on Tuesday. And I guess I'm wondering if voters should expect a Walter administration in which a press conference is called to make accusations based on assumptions that aren't true. Is that something that's going to be part of your administration?
Well, Bob, as you know, my press conference was in response to a published report in City and State. In that published report, the exact words were used were an ongoing investigation. That's what two sources from that story said was going on. We were reacting to that. An ongoing investigation is what was written in the report. And that's what our response was to. Now, the county executive and the attorney general have referenced an issue with Eden and Evans Center Road. And that very well may be closed investigation. But that doesn't mean that there's not another investigation going on, that there's other issues to come up. One of the sources in the story, the published story that I hope you read, also says that there was a termination as a result of the ongoing investigation that happened this year. So, you know, I don't know what more I can say other than I'm responding to a published report that says there's an ongoing investigation.
Your response, Mr. Poloncarz?
Well, as I said, leadership means sometimes you just don't jump to conclusions and go out there and hold a press conference without having the facts. As it pertained in this situation, when my Department of Public Works and Department of Law identified improprieties, our first reaction and the discussion they had with me was, what should we do here? Should we handle this internally? And my response is, because it involves state funding, we need to turn it over to the state. We not only let the Attorney General's office know, we let the Department of Transportation know about it. Why? Because you don't jump to conclusions. You let prosecutors look at it to see if there's problems.
Now on to a question for Mr. Poloncarz from Claudine Ewing of WGRZ.
Hi, Claudine. Good evening. Despite hiring more caseworkers for CPS, Child Protective Services, there are workers who will still say that they have heavy caseloads, higher than what the state recommends. The fear from some employees is that more children could die because manpower just is not enough to tackle the cases. Do you have a firm handle on the problems and issues? And what do you tell those families who believe the county is not serious on this matter until there's a tragedy?
Well, Claudia, the county is exceptionally serious about this. I mean, the worst days of my administration was when a child died. Any day that a child dies is one day too many. And what we've done is added caseworkers. We went from approximately 80 caseworkers to now having 113 caseworkers. And the average caseload per worker right now is 22 cases. At its highest point, it was 51. So we dropped it near the level that the state recommends. We included by hiring former police officers, retired police officers, to act as special investigators to help caseworkers interview individuals. We also put caseworkers in our schools. We put caseworkers in the hospitals that have the highest rate of, unfortunately, injuries for children, Sisters Hospitals and Children's Hospital. And what I can say is we take this exceptionally seriously. The worst days of my administration are when a child died. And we want to ensure that we're doing all that we can to ensure that no other child becomes one of those statistics.
Mr. Walter, your response.
Well, once again, in response to the tragedies regarding CPS and the children under their watch, there was no accountability. When people in the community, when other county legislators were calling for the resignation or the demand for the resignation of the Department of Social Services Commissioner, Mark stood by her. He did not hold her accountable at all, and in fact gave her additional responsibilities by appointing her acting mental health commissioner. That's not strong leadership.
Mr. Walter, my first question is for you. For years, actually probably a couple of decades, there have been many people pushing for reforms of industrial development agencies, tighter controls, possibly even a single countywide IDA. Your thoughts on that dialogue that has been going on for so long?
Well, In a state where we are at a serious disadvantage to other states because of the tremendous tax burden that we're under and the insurmountable regulations sometimes that our businesses have to deal with, institutions like the IDA become necessary. I think we all agree that IDAs are there to lower the tax burden for our businesses to be able to work and hire people. One of the things that I've proposed, and it's a bill that's been tossed around by Senator Gallivan, is that we use some of the resources of our town IDAs, whether it be in Amherst or Lancaster or Hamburg, and help them actually take on projects within their neighboring towns, whether that be Amherst would help out Tonawanda or Lancaster Cheektowaga or Hamburg and Orchard Park or West Seneca. I think there's a lot of things that we can do to use IDAs to help grow our economy. But the best thing we can do is lower taxes for everybody. And that's what my plan that I propose does. Our Fair Share plan lowers taxes for the residents of Erie County.
Mr. Poloncar has the same question.
Think about this, folks. New York City has approximately 12 million people and I think five boroughs, and it has one IDA. Erie County has 925,000 people and it has six IDAs. I'm proud of what we've been able to do at the Erie County Industrial Development Agency the last 4 years, holding parties that seek a tax break accountable. We now require any party that seeks a tax break to actually have a recapture policy, such if they don't create the jobs that they say they're going to, they've got to pay us the money back. And we now have an equal pay policy ensuring women are paid the same as men at those companies. I'm proud of our record.
It is time to go to our rapid response room now, where WGRZ's Steve Brown is joined by a team of veteran journalists from WGRZ, the Buffalo News, and WBFO. Steve, what are you learning tonight?
Hi, Brian. 3 points and a tweet to share with you. First of all, in terms of job growth, everybody loves it that the unemployment numbers are going down in this state, particularly in western New York. But when you factor in all the jobs lost with the jobs added, Mr. Poloncar talks about 12,000 jobs added. According to the state Labor Department statistics over the first 3 years of his tenure, that's only 4,000 that have been actually net added. That's a net. That's point number one. Number two, on the county homes issue, this was something that popped up first under County Executive Chris Collins. So this issue first popped up under Republican watch. And in terms of the CPS caseload, currently being at 22 and in going down per social worker, caseworker, that's still at 22, is still 30% higher than the state would like it. There is an interesting point, not surprisingly, a lot of folks focused on last November's snowstorm and how it was handled. Depending upon how you live, you might have a different feeling about it. But we thought this was a rather fair question. Mr. Walter, what would your leadership response have been during that snowstorm, given the very same assets? If it's different in somehow, then I think the folks at home would like to know how it would be different. Brian?
Start with Snowvember. What would your response have been? How would you have handled it differently?
Well, one of the things that we could have done has been a little bit more proactive. We knew the forecast. There was the Weather Service was calling for a historic storm. And what we could have done is pre-positioned equipment where it needed to be. And so we could have worked with the towns and worked with the villages to make sure that we were keeping their equipment available and free and open.
I see you shaking your head no.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. I can tell you exactly what happened because we were going to have a press conference at 4 o'clock on Monday, the day the snow fell. Up until then, we were expecting up to 2-3 feet of snow because that was the expectation from the National Weather Service. At 3:53, because I get warnings from the National Weather Service before they go public, they then said we're going to get 3 to 5 inches of snow per hour for the next 2 days, and we don't know exactly where it's going to hit. We had our plows on the street expecting 2 to 3 feet of snow. When we heard it was that, we changed our gears to ensure that we did as much as we possibly could.
They gave us a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about job growth. There's an implication you're fudging it or at least overstating it.
Steve's got the wrong report. Two reports.
Okay.
There's an unemployment number, which includes how many individuals are employed versus a job number. I know this. I know this very well because I've talked to John Slinker of the New York State Department of Labor about it multiple times. And what we're having is right now, it's the highest recorded jobs in our Buffalo-Niagara region since they started keeping records in the early 1990s. Unemployment numbers look at the number of individuals who are actually employed. What's happened is a number of people have retired. I will agree with that. People have retired, lowering the total job count. But our unemployment levels are at the lowest they've been in many years, and our job count is the highest since the New York State Department of Labor did the record What about
Well,
I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, Mark Poloncarz has had about as much to do with creating those jobs as I did with the Sabres drafting Jack Eichel. I mean, it just doesn't add up. Not only that, but when you talk about job numbers, we have one of the lowest workforce participation rates in this county and in this country in the last 40 years. Not since the 1970s has workforce participation rate been so low.
They threw a lot at us. We had 30 seconds. The CPS thing still is a huge issue across Erie County. I mean, you heard the question. You've seen the rapid response room. Problems there unresolved?
No, I believe the problems have been resolved. If you look at the caseload reduction, at the highest amount approximately a year and a half ago, the average caseworker had 51 cases. And now, as of this month, it's down to 22. The state recommended is 15 to 16. We're getting there. What happens is if a caseworker leaves county government, we can replace their job. But we can't give them a case until they have approximately 9 months of experience of training. So when anybody leaves, it hurts us. And what we're doing is we're getting more people involved in the system, and as a result, the caseloads
are
dropping.
So he says we're getting there. Are we getting there fast
enough? When it was clear that there was a problem at CPS, the county legislature said we need more boots on the ground. We need more caseworkers on the ground. But Mr. Poloncarz went ahead and appointed additional management confidential, including some political cronies to fill spots in the Department of Social Services that were completely unqualified.
Okay, we had a lot to cover. We got a couple of them out of the way anyway. Thank you very much for that. Now let's begin the next round with a question to Mr. Poloncarz from Bob McCarthy.
Yes, Mr. Poloncarz, let's stick on job creation here for a moment. Part of your last campaign platform was to assign the main focus of your deputy county executive's duties to job creation. And you also said then that your office would concentrate heavily on attracting new jobs from the Toronto area. Now, you never followed through on your campaign pledge to establish an economic development office in Toronto, though you have explained that the county has retained a consultant there. So have your deputy county executives focused to the extent that you promised on job creation? And are you satisfied with the lesser Toronto presence than you promised and with progress in attracting Canadian businesses here?
Yes and yes on both of those. One of the things that we've done that no one else really thought of beforehand was looking at the Toronto area as being a market of growth for our region. They come to our malls, they go to our Bills games, well, they should have their businesses here, and that's what we've done. Ask the folks at Welded Tube, Joel Shapiro or Robert Pike. They weren't necessarily thinking about this region, but through the work in my office and my former deputy county executive, Richard Toby, we brought them here, and they did a $40 million investment on more than 40 acres of the old Bethlehem Steel site with nearly 100 jobs there today. Outfront Portable Solutions, others that we can talk about that are looking at Buffalo, Erie County, and Western New York as the home of their American subsidiaries. And when it comes to the Canadian office, in the end, we realized it wasn't cost-effective to do it. But if we hired a consultant who's a Canadian who deals with site selectors or is a site selector for Canadian businesses looking for operations elsewhere, we realized it was more beneficial. So we've hired and retained CDEP. And my deputy county executive, Maria White, is in constant contact with them. We're getting leads, and we're working those leads with the Buffalo Niagara Enterprise to create jobs in our region.
Mr. Walter, your response.
Well, we talk about creating jobs, but the county executive has created more hurdles for job creators. He talked about reforms at the Erie County IDA. What I've heard from business leaders that I've talked to throughout the county is that the changes that have been made at the IDA will make it even more difficult to attract employers to this region. In fact, I've heard that if some of those reforms were in place when certain Fortune 500 companies were deciding whether or not to stay or leave here, that they would have definitely left and cost us hundreds of jobs. So, you know, the policies that Mr. Poloncarz has been promoting aren't helping us create jobs, but they're creating barriers. And he also brought up Welded Tube. It's funny because he talks about IDA reform and clawing things back. The jobs at Welded Tube are so heavily subsidized that we're talking about $300,000 per job in incentives to create each one of those jobs at Welded Tube. So, you know, there's a lot to question about his record on creating jobs.
Claudine Ewing has the next question, and it's for Mr. Walter.
Mr. Walter, your fair share tax plan, it really appears to be very bold because it shares revenue equally by population in every community across Erie County. But isn't it true when it's all said and done, this just gives more money to the towns where most Republican voters may live? So does this really benefit all of Erie County, or is it just a way for you to get votes?
It sure does. Last I checked, Cheektowaga, Tonawanda, Amherst, Hamburg had more Democrats in them than Republicans, and they're the biggest beneficiaries of this plan. We're talking about millions of dollars that, in talking to the town supervisors there, they'll use that money to drive down property taxes. We also take over $100 million over the next 4 years and invest it in our schools. Next year, the tax cap's going to be less than 1%. Schools are struggling to stay within that tax cap. This money will help them lower their property taxes. They'll be able to invest in education. We'll be able to lower taxes for the majority of the people in Western New York. And you want to talk about creating jobs? Lower taxes, that's going to help create jobs. That's going to put money in people's pocket. It's going to help bring businesses to Erie County. The governor himself has said property taxes are one of the biggest impediments to job creation in New York State. And by any measure, we have some of the highest property taxes in the country. My Fair Share plan will lower your property taxes.
Mr. Poloncarz, you have 1 minute.
It's a bad plan that will do more harm than good. At this time of great awakening, so to speak, in our community, a one Buffalo, a one Erie County, my opponent comes up with a plan which tries to split us. This will do more harm than good because it's going to take away money from the cities when they truly still need it. We have the third poorest city in America, and yet people are talking about, oh, everything's great. There's more work that needs to be done. You can't have strong suburbs and you can't have strong rural areas if the city's hurt. I'll tell you what leadership is. It's working with the municipalities that come up with tax savings. And what I'm proud to announce is the New York State Division of Budget today announced that they're accepting the plan that Erie County submitted with 37 other municipalities to offer a tax rebate check to the people of this community. Why is that happening? Because we're reducing our tax levies. The people of this community are going to appreciate that when they see not only a reduction in their tax levy, but a rebate check from New York State, because my office, with 37 other municipalities, came up with a plan that the New York State budget approved.
Claudine Ewing has a follow-up question.
Very simple. How is this doable?
Well, it's doable because Erie County is in a position to be able to negotiate the sales tax sharing with all the cities. And they are in the best position. Erie County is in the best position to be able to negotiate that. They're in a great advantage at the negotiating table all over the cities. I think it's important to point out that the renaissance in Buffalo is happening. I've been a huge supporter. I actually voted for the Buffalo Billion. I'm not sure what you had to do with it, Mark. Buffalo City has loaned $15 million to West Seneca. They have $146 million in reserve right now.
Mr. Poloncarz.
Every county executive has looked at the 1977 sales tax sharing agreement, Democrats and Republicans. What he's not telling you is if you cut the agreement, the county can no longer generate and collect taxes in any of the cities. That's fact number one. Yeah. If you renegotiate it, what do you think is going to happen? The cities are going to want more money. And I've talked to Mayor Brown, Mayor Szymanski, and Mayor Davis, and they said the same thing. And when it comes to the Buffalo Billion, I knew about it before you because Governor Cuomo called me to say, we're going to give the Buffalo Billion to your region, and I want you and Mayor Brown to make it happen. And we have.
Now, our next question was submitted via Twitter. It comes from the Arts Services Initiative of Western New York. Here's the question. Arts and culture has an annual economic impact of over $91 million. What is the role of arts in your plans to strengthen and advance Erie County? You'll each have 1 minute to respond, and we'll start with Mr. Walter.
Well, one of the things that I've proposed is that we share part of our bed tax with our cultural organizations. That would be able to give them a steady stream of income for in perpetuity. And, you know, with a lot of the building of hotels that's been going on lately, that bed tax has increased year over year. We also need to share a big portion of that bed tax with our Visit Buffalo Niagara, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They are generating a lot of buzz about Buffalo, and we need to bring them in. You combine those two. You partner up the arts community with VBN, and you'll be able to create a synergy that will bring even more people here, increase the bed tax, increase that revenue that we can share with the VBN and with all of the cultural organizations, and make sure that they have a strong future, in perpetuity. We also, want to make it easier for them to be able to get some of this money. So I would propose that we simplify the application process, make it more of a 2-year or 3-year or 4-year process.
Mr. Poloncarz, your turn to respond.
Well, I'm proud of my track record of supporting arts and cultural institutions in this community. If you remember where we were 4 years ago, they were being decimated by my predecessor, and we came in there and came up with a plan that worked, and we've provided them more funding over time. And I'm here to say that in the 2016 budget that I'll be releasing tomorrow, our budget will not have a tax rate increase. It's a very tight budget. It's only increasing in total by 0.7%. But arts and cultural institutions in this community, like VBN and the Convention Center, will actually be getting an increase of 1.5%, more than, truthfully, what we're giving for other departments in county government. Why am I doing that? Because I understand that our arts and cultural institutions are tourism drivers, and when people go to arts and cultural institutions from outside of this area, they're staying in our hotels, they're shopping in our restaurants, and they're generating money for the public good. That's why I've been a strong supporter of arts and cultural institutions in the past, and I will continue if I get privileged to serve again.
Now it's time for each candidate to ask a question of his opponent. Each will have 1 minute to respond. Mr. Poloncarz, we will start with a question from you.
Mr. Walter, you talk a good game about how you want to do this and you want to do that, but you do have a proven track record when you were an Erie County legislator, and you truthfully were the hatchet man for Chris Collins, in which you helped him cut programmings like health clinics, like libraries, like arts and cultural institutions. How can you now say you're going to give everything to everyone when your proven track record is otherwise?
Well, let me tell you, when I was in the county legislature, we worked very hard to restore funding to the libraries, to make sure that there was funding for our arts and cultural attractions. And you, working with your colleagues in the Democratic legislature at the time, did everything to try to thwart us at that time. We were trying to come up with a compromise, trying to come up with a plan, trying to come up with a way to make sure we funded, at least in part, all of these organizations. But you guys wanted all or nothing. It was it was fund everything and raise taxes in the process, or we weren't going to do anything. And there was no compromise whatsoever. We see a lot of that in Washington, no compromise. We were looking to compromise, and we'd had no one to compromise with you. Your deputy county executive at the time, who was in the county legislature, wanted an all or nothing approach. Unfortunately, I'm proud of my stance on arts and culturals. And at the end of the day, we were looking to save the taxpayers' money, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
Okay, Mr. Walter, your chance now to question Mr. Poloncarz.
Will you promise the people of Erie County, the taxpayers, that you will not raise taxes over the next 4 years?
I have no intention to. Simple as that. We are seeing assessment growth, and this year we are going to issue a budget tomorrow in 2016, which states that the people of Erie County will not see a tax rate increase. And truthfully, I worked with legislators last year, like Legislator Chairman Mills and Legislator Chairman Hardwick, to ensure that the 2015 budget in the long run had a budget cut in the tax rate, but was also a tax system that worked so we could pay for the services that the people provided. I'm proud of what we've been able to do the last few years by growing our economy and having budgets that actually balance. Remember where we were 10 years ago when I was elected county controller? We were at the height of the red-green fiscal crisis. The county was at worst status it was, junk bond status, one notch above it. Now we're an A-plus in one rating agency and a AA in another. Why? Because we've been able to successfully manage the money of the people. I was the independent taxpayer watchdog of the people of Erie County when I was their comptroller, and I still am today, and it's evident by the budgets that we have.
This is Decision 2015, the race for Erie County Executive, coming to you live from the WNED WBFO studios. A reminder that you can join the conversation using the hashtag #ECDebate. Now let's begin a new round. Bob McCarthy has a question for Mr. Walter.
Yes, Mr. Walter, after Erie County and New York State spent $130 million to renovate Ralph Wilson Stadium, County Executive Poloncarz has expressed doubt about the need for a new Buffalo Bills stadium by the time the current lease expires in 2022. Now, that's a long way off. But speaking broadly and conceptually and understanding a potentially significant role for Erie County, would you favor a Bills stadium remaining in Orchard Park or moving downtown?
Well, let me tell you, there's not a bigger Bills fan than I am. My wife yells at me all the time on Sundays for yelling at the TV. We have a great stadium out in Orchard Park. We just put $130 million into it. We've renovated it. It's one of the best game day experiences throughout the entire NFL. And a lot of that has to do with not only what goes on in the stadium, but what goes on outside of the stadium before the games with the tailgating. I can tell you this. I will pledge to the people of Erie County that I will not commit a single taxpayer dollar to building a brand new stadium to play football eight Sundays a week in either downtown Buffalo or Orchard Park. They've done a great job in Kansas City refurbishing the stadium there. They did the same thing at Lambeau with Green Bay, refurbishing the stadium there. And those stadiums are going to last for a long time and have lasted a long time. We can do the same thing here in Erie County. We've got a great stadium out in Orchard Park. I'd like to keep it that way.
Your response, Mr. Poloncarz?
Well, I'm very proud of what we were able to do to negotiate a lease with the former Wilson administration, which kept the team here. Remember, there were a lot of people that were looking to kick the tires of the Buffalo Bills when Mr. Wilson died, but they didn't, to try to move it to Los Angeles because of the $400 million penalty clause that we had after specific performance clauses were in place. What that means is they're not going anywhere, and they didn't. We now have ownership under the Pegulas. And Mr. Pegula said he's very happy with the current stadium, as he should be. It's a very nice stadium. I'm a season ticket holder there. I love going to games. It's a great atmosphere. We invested $130 million so that that stadium can last for, truthfully, more than 10 years. The engineers in the Erie County Department of Public Works have stated that the stadium in its current status, if nothing else was done to it other than annual maintenance, could last another 25 years. We're going to continue to have discussions. Certainly, if Mr. Pegula came down and said he wanted a new stadium, we'd have to have discussions with him. You can't take anything off the table. But I'll say this. It's a stadium that's in good shape that could last a long time if we invest in it.
Claudine Ewing has our next question for Mr. Poloncarz.
Mr. Poloncarz, if you talk to people outside of the city of Buffalo, they often refer to infrastructure. They think the county can do more, should do more, hasn't done enough. And while there has been about $90 million, probably more, in infrastructure investment in the last 3 years, many roads still need major work. Why hasn't more been done to fix those roads?
Well, you can only do so much when you have a limited amount of revenue to pay for it. I'm actually spending, on average, more than $10 million more than Mr. Collins did. His average road budget was around $20 million, and that's what I inherited from his 2012 budget when I came into office. Our average road budget is a little around $30 million. It's about $30 million because it's a little less 1 year, a little higher in another year. It costs $450,000 to do mill and overlay two lanes, both sides. It costs roughly $2 million to do a complete reconstruction of one mile of road. We're averaging about 200 miles of roads per year. When you have 1,200 centerline miles, 2,400 lane miles of roads, there's only so many you can do on an annual basis, and that's exactly how many roads Erie County has. We have as many roads as the state of Rhode Island has, miles of roads. Hawaii and Delaware has. I've increased the funding for roads, and we've also increased it next year in the 2016 budget to ensure we do as much as we possibly can without asking for a tax increase.
Mr. Walter, your response.
I've spoken to the highway superintendents across this county. I've spoken to the people who drive on these roads. And what I've heard constantly is that our county roads are in terrible condition. You know when you're driving on a county road because you're hitting the potholes. They are not in good shape. I don't care how much money you may be spending or budgeting, that's not getting to the work done. When I talk to the highway superintendents, each of them has a plan. They have a paving plan. They have a ditching plan for their town roads. But when I ask them, well, what does the county do differently? They said, well, they don't have a plan at all. There's no highway. There's no paving plan. There's no ditching plan. There's no flood mitigation plan. They have plans stacked up on shelves in County Hall, but they don't actually have a plan. We need to give more power to each of the engineers in each of the barns throughout the county, help them develop a plan for their regions, and we need to make sure that we continue to invest in our infrastructure because it's a matter of public safety, it's a matter of economic development, and it's a matter of quality of life for our residents.
We do have a follow-up from Claudine Ewing.
Should some of those county roads then be turned over to the towns?
Well, I've been talking about turning them over to the towns for quite some time, but for my opponent to say we don't have a plan is kind of silly because he was a county legislator and he knows there's an Erie County Capital Committee that meets the year before to figure out what roads they're going to do. Earlier this year, we met and made a decision on what roads we're going to do for 2016 for our mill and overlay, our oil and chip, and of course our major reconstruction. Chairman of the legislature, John Mills, was there and advocating for roads. The majority leader, Joe Lurigo, was there. We have a plan. I'm surprised he doesn't know about it because a legislator, he should have remembered that there is this committee.
Well, when I was a legislator, we actually had a plan, and we would follow through on the plan. And when I talked to the highway superintendents throughout the county, they say when in the previous administration, there was a plan. They were making great progress. Even though we were in the midst of an economic recession, a huge downturn, we were trying to hold the line on taxes at the time. Of course, when you took office, the first thing you tried to do is raise taxes. So your instincts have always been to raise taxes. When faced with any trouble, you've decided to raise taxes. I can't imagine what our tax rate would be today if you were faced with the same type of economic conditions that we were back then.
I have a question for you, Mr. Poloncarz. For many, summer is a time to swim, but they can't at a lot of problem plague spots along Lake Erie, including some of our beaches. What role does Erie County have in improving the quality of what many say is our greatest resource?
Well, we have one beach, Bennett Beach in Evans, which unfortunately some days during this year was closed. Our number one responsibility is to protect the public. And when our health department says the bacterial levels in the water around a beach are too high, we have to close them. I know nobody wants that to happen, but I think it would be much worse if you went to the beach with your kids and your kids got sick because they got a bacterial infection. The county has two major sewage treatment plants, the Big Sister plant in Evans and, of course, the Woodlawn treatment plant. We've been investing money in those plants to make them much more environmentally friendly, including a huge multi-million-dollar project that's going on right now in the Woodlawn plant that will eliminate overflows when we have storms and extra water enters our system, to eliminate those storms from then taking contaminated water to Woodlawn Beach. We know it's an issue, we're working on it, and we're spending a lot of your money to solve these issues. But the number one priority we have when it comes to beaches is to ensure that water's safe so you don't get sick afterwards.
Mr. Walter, same question.
Well, I mean, part of the problem is making sure that those overflows stop and fighting the pollution upstream, making sure you stop it before it gets into the lake and into the swimming areas. So we need to make sure we make that commitment, make that investment into our infrastructure and our stormwater and sewage treatment plants. This is not a problem that's isolated to just Erie County. This is a problem that we're seeing throughout much of the Great Lake region. And, you know, that's why we need to make sure that we're partnering with our partners in state government, our partners at local government, to make sure we address this issue, you know, as a whole. You can't do it piecemeal. You have to do it as a whole region.
Well, it's time again to go to our rapid response room with WGRZ's Steve Brown. Steve, what is the latest update?
Yeah, we got a couple of points we're going to make here, and then we're going to go over to the full screen for a couple more points. But first of all, on Mr. Walter's sales tax sharing plan, it's important to note that Buffalo, as a percentage, as a proportion, gets less from its county government, Erie, than the cities of Syracuse and Rochester. So a reduction would mean that they would get even less, and it's arguably a larger city. Mr. Poloncarz did run on a promise in 2011 of reducing six IDAs to one. He did acknowledge in an interview with Dave McKinley earlier this year that this is something that he cannot accomplish without state law. Now, if we go over here, let's talk a little bit about the AG's investigation into the Erie County DPW. To whatever extent it was, the news organization, which has been all over this, has done most of the reporting on this, is City and State. And we point to this particular line. The case had been since closed with no further action, suggesting to us that perhaps this is said and done with, and any speculation that there's further investigation might be just that. And we're talking about stadiums and financing stadiums, even with the fine stadium out in Kansas City, Missouri, Arrowhead Stadium. The improvements there cost $375 million. Sales tax financed $212.5 million of that. So this question kind of fits, and this comes from Aquila. Why not emulate what other cities have done to increase stadium funding options, such as implementing a sin tax or an extra sales tax levy? What do you think about that, Brian?
What about a sin tax? Let's talk about that. Mr. Walter.
I don't think raising taxes on the people of Erie County is the right way to go, no matter what we're talking about. You know, at the end of the day, we're talking about a football stadium. We're talking about playing a game there 8 days a week. To put that burden onto any member of our community is not the right answer.
But it is a popular way.
We should be working on finding ways to lower our taxes, not to raise them.
We have seen that in other localities, right? Send taxes to raise money. What do you think?
But I agree with Ray. We should not be increasing taxes, putting a sin tax or increasing our sales tax to pay for the stadium. We actually, in this new lease, negotiated less annual payments to the Bills than what we'd been paying before. So I think it says a lot about what we were able to negotiate with the Bills. So while we have an annual payment and annual maintenance costs, we're paying less than we did before. But to ask the people of this region to increase the sales tax to a higher amount, I think everyone would reject. And a sin tax was actually looked at when they talked about doing the 1996 and 1997 adjustments to the stadium lease. And I know County Executive Gorski looked at it, and in the end, it was overwhelmingly rejected by the legislature, so it went away.
Let's talk about the IDA reform. Tilting at windmills, I mean, nothing you can do, state sanctioned, et cetera?
Well, I'll say this. I have noted, I think it's inappropriate for us to have six IDAs. We should have one, but I can't do it on my own. The IDAs are construct of state law. They are public benefit corporations, so to speak, state authorities that exist because the state allows them to. What we've been able to do is introduce a recapture policy, which a number of the other IDAs are starting to follow, as well as an equal pay policy that says if you're going to get a tax break from the people of this community, number one, you have to create the jobs that you say you're going to, or we're going to take 80% of the money back. And number two, you have to pay female employees the same as male employees for jobs of equal experience as well as equal job title. It's only fair when 52% of the population is women that we should ensure that women are getting paid equally at those businesses.
Mr. Walter, your point about IDAs.
Which is already state law and federal law, okay? And it's enforced by state and federal law and also by private right of action. But regardless of that, we're talking about IDAs. What's the purpose of IDAs? To lower the cost of doing business here. Well, let's just lower the cost of doing business for everybody. We don't have to pick winners and losers. Let's lower the cost of lower the tax burden on every single taxpayer in our community.
You heard our rapid response room about the sales tax thing. Or did they find a chink in your armor there?
Not at all. One thing to point out is that the cities now get twice as much in sales tax revenue per person than the rest of Erie County residents. In addition, the cities now have more in sales tax revenue than all of the towns combined. This is not a fair system. We should be more like Westchester, where they do it on a per capita basis. They're a very similar size county as Erie County, a little 950,000, and they have a big city there too, Yonkers, and they do it on a proportional basis.
Another
like I'm proposing.
Interesting discussion, but we need to get things rolling with a question for Mr. Poloncarz from Bob McCarthy.
Mr. Poloncarz, before the end of the year, the NFTA will issue a report which many observers believe will recommend expansion of Metro Rail, or at least enhanced bus service, from the University Station to UB's North Campus. The report will predict that Metro Rail ridership will double to 50,000 commuters each day while improving access to UB's three campuses, to the medical campus and to downtown. Should county dollars be used to support operating an expanded Metro Rail system?
Well, Bob, currently county dollars are used. The NFTA gets millions of dollars on an annual basis from Erie County through our sales tax. It's part of the sharing plan, but it's actually something that most people don't realize. I think it's important that we solve the issues at the NFTA because we know we have major issues not only financially with the NFTA, but with the way we actually issue transportation in our community. All you got to do is drive down Main Street or Transit in Amherst and realize what a bottleneck it is. And it used to be just at particular times of the day. Now it's almost at every time of the day. I was a student at the University of Buffalo, and I remember taking the buses back and forth from Amherst to Main Street, and it wasn't the best method possible. I think we do need to ensure that we're providing additional resources as a community to the NFTA, but we can't just say that we're going to give more tax dollars, more tax dollars, more tax dollars to solve problems when they have to fix some things structurally as well. My goal as county executive is to work with local authorities like the NFTA to ensure that they're meeting the needs of this community, not just asking for more tax dollars.
Mr. Walter.
Well, two things. This is an issue that is very close to me because what we're talking about is right in my assembly district, expanding services through the town of Amherst. And the NFTA has been shortchanged by the State Department of Transportation, and I fought tooth and nail to get more funding for the NFTA every single year. I've stood there during budget hearings and argued with the DOT commissioners that we need to make sure that we're getting full funding for the NFTA from the state of New York. The state has shortchanged Western New York when it comes to public transportation, and we need to get our fair share. But more importantly, I want to talk a little bit about Amherst. What we cannot do and what we cannot allow is the NFTA to tear up neighborhoods in the middle of Amherst. Running a Metro Rail down the Grover-Cleveland Highway or up Bailey Avenue where there's hundreds and hundreds of homeowners and homes will destroy those neighborhoods. We can't let that happen, and I won't let that happen.
Okay, we have time for a brief question. 15-second responses, gentlemen. Claudine Ewing.
This can be really quick. The county has to work very closely with the state. So what's your grade of Governor Cuomo?
you know, he certainly paid a lot of attention to Buffalo, and that's great, and I encourage him. You know, overall, though, I mean, I think he's probably maybe a C.
Okay, Mr. Poloncarz.
No governor has invested as much time and effort to rebuild our community as he has. There's no doubt about it. Not everyone agrees with all his policies, but for this community, for Erie County, it's an A.
Well, we are just about out of time, and we will now hear closing statements. Each candidate will have 1 minute, and we will begin with Mr. Poloncarz.
Thank you, Brian, and once again, thanks to all of you for taking time to watch this last hour. You heard two competing visions for the future of this community, one which is kind of going back to the same old that we saw for 12 years in a row, of promises of tax cuts and tax relief that only end up causing harm to our community, and mine, which is a vision of ensuring that we work together as a community, one Buffalo, one Erie County, to create the community we always knew it could be. For too long, we looked outside of this region for a silver bullet to save us. And then finally, we realized the silver bullet was us. By working together, the public and the private sector, we've been able to create an economic environment that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people wouldn't have thought of. I ask for your support on November 3rd because I want to continue to work to serve the people of this community because I know our best days are still ahead of us. And I ask you for your vote on November 3rd. But no matter what, please get out and vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Mr. Walter, you have 1 minute for your closing.
You've heard a lot tonight about my opponent's record over the last 4 years, a record that he has had very little to do with. He's been a beneficiary of a worldwide economic expansion that's created jobs in every community throughout the country. But what you haven't heard is a vision about the future, what his plans are for Erie County in the next 4 years. What actions are he going to take to make it more affordable for you to live and to work and to raise your family here in Erie County? I have a plan. I have a vision. I'm going to lower your property taxes by modernizing a 40-year-old sales tax sharing agreement that pits communities against each other. We will create growth and opportunity zones in our most struggling neighborhoods where they've been virtually ignored over the last 4 years. And I'll just tell you this. I promise to you, the taxpayers at home, the people all across Erie County, that I will be the hardest working county executive that this county has ever seen. And I humbly ask for your vote on November 3rd.
That will bring our debate to an end. Thank you to our panelists and to the League of Women Voters of Buffalo Niagara for helping with tonight's program. Thanks also to Steve Brown and our team of veteran journalists for the terrific work over on our Rapid Response Room. We especially thank our candidates, Mark Poloncarz and Ray Walter. And finally, thank you for watching and listening. Now it's your time to make your voice heard. Please remember to vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. I'm Brian Meyer. Good night.